I am Planta on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. A new children's book, The 11th Hour, features Jim and Jules, childhood friends born in the same town, 2 minutes apart. They're inseparable, and when war breaks out in Europe, they enlist. The book, written and illustrated by Jacques Goldstein, depicts the First World War. It is muddy, barbaric, and makes them homesick. These characters are not only drawn well, but drawn out so well. In very few pages, you get a sense of these two young men, just as most young men in the conflict were. I get Jacques, who joins me now, to tell us about his book, The Great War, how we're remembering it on its 100th anniversary, as well as how war affects its soldiers, those at home, and generations after. Jacques Goldstein is an author-illustrator and a political cartoonist. His books, Letters to a Prisoner and Bertolt, were acclaimed and award-winning. He draws cartoons in the Montreal Gazette under his pen name, Boris. This new book is published by Owl Kids Books. Please welcome to the Planta on the Line program in Montreal, Jacques Goldstein. Mr. Goldstein, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks for joining us. So these two characters in your book, Jim and Jules, they're born on the same day, the same place, 2 minutes apart. Who was late?
Jules was late. He's 2 minutes late.
And then it becomes the story in the book that the rest of his life, he's always late.
Absolutely. He's always lagging behind. Jim is always stronger. He's faster. He's better than Jules. But actually, they are very good friends, and they stick together. And Jim helps Jules and every part of life.
Yeah, and so they're inseparable. The rest of the as they're growing up,
yes.
And then when it comes to when war is declared, I guess Jim signs up and Jules right behind him, and they're off to Europe.
Yes, and I guess they're pretty young. They must be 17, or do they have 18 years old? I don't know, but they want glory. They want to be part of this war, so together they go.
And I guess that's during the Great War.
Yes.
A lot of they were of that age, weren't they? They were young men, just like Jules and Jim.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was surprised because I discovered also that there were young people younger than 18 years old. People lied about their age, and people as young as 14 or 13 years old who really wanted to enlist, and they ended up in the war, in the trenches, or in the Navy. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And then of course we know the numbers in terms of what was lost.
Yes.
Because of this war, and you depict that in the book, and I don't know why I thought that perhaps it would be too graphic, say, for children to see, but because it's so vivid in your book,
mm-hmm.
I realize that the children are just small people, and they should see this, shouldn't they?
Absolutely, yes. Actually, as a child, when I was a kid, 8 or 9 years old, my parents told me. We talked about the war because my parents are French, from France. My father's from Paris, and my mother's from Brittany. And both my grandfathers fought during the First World War. So it was part of the conversations around the table, and I remember this, and I started asking questions. And it was not, I was really curious to know about that. I prefer to talk about World War II, but...
Yeah.
Starting to learn about World War One, then you realize how the hardship was different, and the conditions and how people fought was completely different from World War Two. And soon I started to learn, and it wasn't if I was a child. I don't like horror movies or stuff like that. But I want to learn, and this is part of learning about geography, learning about history. Learning about all these soldiers went through, and
mm-hmm.
There was no I never thought about censorship or about the graphics.
Uh-huh.
I said I want to write a story, and I want to illustrate a story the way I would have liked to see it when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is important because as you just said. we need to know this stuff, and children especially.
Yeah.
You know, that old line that, you know, if you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it.
Absolutely.
You mentioned your parents and their fathers.
Yes.
Naturally, I'm assuming they were curious as well growing up. When they would ask their fathers about their experience during the war, did your grandfathers, did they say much?
Actually not, because I have just a few phrases, a few words from my grandfathers, because I didn't know, I haven't met them, you know. My mother told me, especially, she told me that she was maybe 8 or 9 years old. That was in the end of the 20s or beginning of the 30s. And she asked her father, you know, how many Germans did you kill?
Yeah.
And my grandfather answered, well, never, never ask me this question again. So he was a very good man. He went to war. You know, that was his duty. He was very patriot, but he was not a monster, you know. Even though he went through all the 4 years of the war, and he really suffered, and he survived the war, and he was gassed, and he had a post-traumatic
stress disorder
after the war.
Yeah.
Yes. So the war was conducted differently, also, and there were a lot of secrets that people brought with them, and. Today we are eager, we want to learn about that, and we are lucky, we have so much testimonies and stuff like that, but it was different 50 years or 60 years ago.
Yeah, and then I guess the war did make monsters of a lot of these men, and
yes.
And naturally, of course, you can understand why they wouldn't want to talk about it at all.
And they kept that in their mind, and we were talking about the book, and it's we're talking about the First World War, and when we were thinking about our soldiers who go to Afghanistan, they are soldiers also. You know,
yeah.
they go through very, very terrible times, and it's interesting to talk with school children about that, because they. When you start talking with them, they are curious, and they start asking questions. And then you go step by step, and then they understand.
Mm.
They understand what it was, how the world was in 1914, and the conditions, the political conditions, and how one thing led to another one. And they are curious. And if I can compare this with, you know, Star Wars or Lord of the Rings, I mean, for me, this is way more complicated.
Yeah.
And whereas when you speak about the First World War, this is real.
Yeah.
This is real stuff.
And that's key, isn't it? Because we need to talk to children about war. And naturally, they're curious. And that's the best way, isn't it? When they have questions, to encourage those questions and then just answer them as they come.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, you just... because they will be confronted with this, and you don't have to show the most horrific things, and you know they will discover that by themselves when they'll be older.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, as I said, you go step by step, and it's very passionate. From my experience, what I remember, you know, I was very eager to learn about that, and I was curious to learn about, you know, the weaponry, and you know how the war was conducted, the strategies and stuff like that. It was, but I'm not a military type or something like this. But I want to know about history, and as you said, this is the key also for what might happen. It's because if you ignore your history, you know what you're condemned to repeat it. And actually, the First World War was the beginning almost of the Second World War. It has direct links with what would happen in Germany with Hitler after that.
So, right.
You have to be conscious about what happened during the war and the Treaty of Versailles and everything.
Yeah. Well, what I liked about your book, Chuck, is two things. Two things especially is that one, you show what it was like at home. And you show what it was like in Germany, even, and how people would protest there because
yeah,
the war
and how they would suffer. And this
yeah.
is a direct direct effect to the end of the First World War.
Yeah, yeah. And then the other thing is Jim and Jewel, when they're at war, the mm-hmm. things that they go through, and that you they're unafraid to talk to each other about the things that they're afraid of or the things that scare them, and they do find themselves crying at night, don't they?
Yes, yes. And I think that, you know, I didn't write this book just for, because this is the 100th anniversary of the end of the World War One, but this is something that obsessed me for many, many years. You know, I'm really into outdoor, and I go hiking and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when I have a bad weekend, you know, it's raining, pouring, and my feet are wet, well, I start thinking about soldiers in the First World War who were in the trenches for days or sometimes weeks, and they had the rats and the lice, and the food was lousy, etc. And
right.
I feel I'm pretty lucky. I'm pretty lucky. And besides that, you know, you are in the trenches and you live miserably. And above that, people are shooting at you and you're shelling at you, you know. So I think that everybody should experience this. I mean, we should spend a couple of days in the trench, you know. That would be mandatory for everybody, just to understand what they went through, you know, the courage and the hardship. It's unbelievable, you know, and all this for duty, for the country. And these young fellows, Jules and Jim, they want to go through this, and they suffer. They suffer, and they dream about the country.
Yeah.
You know, they dream to go back. They dream about peace. They dream about playing hockey together and having a family. And you know, because you can focus on being a hero and being a hero at war and being decorated. But I think that once you're in a war, all you want to end the war. You know.
Yeah.
As many veterans said, you know, someone who is not afraid, you know, in a trench and during the shelling is lying.
Yeah.
You are not immune to this.
Right, right. I don't want to give away what happens in the book, but an interesting person that you write about at the end is George
yeah.
Lawrence Price.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a person who died 2 minutes to 11 a.m. on the 11th of November.
Yes, on 10:58. So that's something I discovered a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I discovered that the last Frenchman died 15 minutes before the end of the war, but in this particular case, George Lawrence Price is the last soldier of the Commonwealth, and it's a very tragic death, and it's very sad. So there's a link also with the end of my book,
right.
also,
right.
And I talk about the armistice also, and one thing I noticed while writing the book or talking about the book is that many adults don't know about the First World War.
Yeah.
I was really, this came as a shock. I mean, to know, to meet so many adults who don't know, they get confused about the armistice and Amnesty International.
Yeah.
They don't know much about that. And you would think that, you know, every adult know about this, you know, but no, this is not the case. And,
yeah.
It is very important, you know.
It
was a very important part of the history of Canada, and that's also how Canada was shaped.
Right.
Also, because there's this famous sentence, you know, we went to war as Albertans or Ontarians or Quebecers, and
uh-huh.
we went over the top as Canadians. You know.
Yeah, it is such, and it's an important time to remember it, especially because we're coming up to the 100th. Anniversary
yeah.
of the armistice.
Yeah.
You know, I've been on YouTube the last few days, and every time you click on something, there's the ad, you know, for the Canadian Mint and this new toonie.
Right.
And someone mentioned this to me, and they said they were annoyed seeing the ad all the time. But I said, you know, it's that new coin, when
mm-hmm.
you look for it in your change,
yeah.
You know, it's a good way to think about this war, the Great War.
Absolutely, and, like the puppies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, mm-hmm. And you're right. Too few people know about this war.
Yeah, yeah, and there are very good few movies. There are a few good movies that you can. There's I saw one recently called Journey's End.
Mm-hmm.
It's a British movie, and it's a very intimate movie. And it takes place in the trenches during 4 days in 1918, and it's very good. It it renders very well the impression and the feeling of being in the trench and. The boredom also, the boredom in the trenches, because the fighting was not continued. You know, it was maybe you had fighting for a day or two, and after that you had to wait so long. It was boredom, not waiting and not knowing what would happen. You were not into the strategies. You know, and the generals would not, the commanders would not tell you what would happen. So you were. The wait was terrible.
Yeah, yeah. The so when it is November 11th every year, what do you think about Jacques?
Well, very often I go to the Montreal Cemetery.
Uh-huh.
There's the Côte des Neiges and there's the Montreal Cemetery. Actually, it's very funny because these are two different cemeteries, but they're side by side, and there's a fence between the two cemeteries. And the military cemetery is on one side and on the other side. And these guys out together, and they're separated by a wall, anyway.
Uh-huh.
And I go there and watch the graves, the tombstones, and to read on the tombstone that these soldiers were so young sometimes.
Yeah.
So young.
Yeah.
20 years old, 22 years old. And to think that now we are at peace also, it's unbelievable. We can travel to Austria. I have Austrian friends. We can travel to Germany. And uh-huh. All this is over.
Yeah.
And at the time, so you can reflect on this as being an absurdity, an insanity sometimes. So you have different perspectives. You have different way of looking at this war, and that's interesting, you know, to look back, to explore. And that's not only the work of historians, but I think it's part of our own duty as citizens.
Yeah, well, you fulfilled a duty yourself in writing this book, and you've given us a lot to think about. The 11th Hour, Jacques, is such a beautiful book. I so appreciate your time, taking the time to talk to me today about it. I hope a lot of people pick up this book.
Well, thank you very much, and I hope that it provides parents and teachers with opportunities, you know, to talk with children about war. You know,
exactly.
And
yeah.
I hope it will provide a lot of questions from those children, and perhaps, you know, a lot of reflection also on the part of those parents and teachers.
The book is called The 11th Hour. It's from Owl Kids Books. It's author and illustrator Jacques Goldstein. Join me on the line from Montreal, Quebec. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Plante.